We all know the basics of chart patterns, the familiar triangles, the wedges, the classic head and shoulders structure. You definitely recognize those shapes because they are, well, they're the foundation. But professional trading isn't really about simply finding a shape on a screen and, betting everything.
Oh, absolutely not. It's definitely not about just shape recognition and isolation. It's really about building this fortress of confirmation. It takes incredible precision. We're talking about the advanced kind of surgical techniques that let you filter out, say, 90% of the market noise, confirm the true underlying momentum, and crucially, spot the exact pivot point, that trend turn, before the rest of the crowd even knows what's happening.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're digging into a stack of material that's really customized for you, the learner, who's seeking that precision and clarity in financial market analysis. Our sources today are focused on moving way beyond those basic patterns, going deep into the advanced confirmation strategies that, well, institutions and veteran traders use.
Yeah, we're synthesizing a pretty dense guide here. It's all about how to intelligently combine the really crucial elements, how to read market structure properly, which powerful momentum indicators to use, those volume metrics that confirm commitment, and even some unconventional charting methods designed to just ruthlessly cut through the visual market clutter. This is all about establishing high-confidence setups.
So our mission today is pretty straightforward, really. We'll start where all good analysis has to start, the backbone, how to precisely read and interpret market structure. Then from there, we're going to systematically layer in four categories of essential tools: core trend indicators to confirm direction, oscillators for fine-tuning timing and recognizing exhaustion, volume confirmation to validate that institutional commitment, and finally, some alternative charting views designed to simplify complex decisions.
Okay, let's dive right in. Because really, if you don't understand structure, you're just kind of trading shapes in the sky, right? And that is just a recipe for getting shaken out every single time volatility spikes up.
Market structure. It's such an interesting concept, isn't it? When you first look at a price chart, especially when things are volatile, it can feel like just pure chaos. But structure is the inherent logical order that exists within that perceived chaos. It really is the essential foundation of any professional trading strategy because, well, it tells you who's holding the keys, who's in control.
It is the absolute backbone.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't recognize the structure, you fundamentally don't know who is in control of the price action. Is it the buyers or the sellers? When we define an uptrend, we aren't just vaguely saying, oh, the price is going up. We are precisely stating that the price is consistently forming higher highs, and this is critical, higher lows.
Meaning definitively that the demand side, the buyers, they remain firmly in control on every single pullback.
Exactly. The supply side, the sellers, they just can't push the price low enough to break that previous swing low. And conversely, a downtrend is a clear, continuous pattern of lower highs and lower lows. That is basically the market shouting at you that sellers are dominating the price action. You absolutely have to internalize this basic language of control before you even think about applying any indicator.
Right. And this leads directly to what our sources identify as a really common strategic mistake made by so many retail traders. They look at the structure, they see the prices run up quite a bit, and they just try to guess.
You try to pick tops and bottoms. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
They look at an asset that's run up, say, 20% over a few weeks, or maybe it hits some arbitrary round number, and they convince themselves, oh, it must come down now. I'll short it right here. Smart, structured strategies. They strictly follow the existing trend and the structure until the shift is truly undeniable.
Cool.
You have got to trade with the structure, always
Yeah.
trying to guess the turn. That's just a low probability game.
Okay, so if we accept that the trend is our friend, as they say, how does the structure explicitly tell us that this friend is continuing its journey with strength? This is where the break of structure, or BOS, becomes that first really critical concept.
BOS is, yeah, the ultimate confirmation signal for continuation. In an uptrend, it happens when the price definitively breaks and, importantly, closes beyond the previous swing high. It's the market validating its own bullish direction by overcoming that last major hurdle set by the sellers. In a downtrend, naturally, it's breaking a previous swing low.
And the material really stresses that this confirmation is only valid under one specific condition. Strong volume has to accompany the break.
Oh, that is absolutely non-negotiable. A weak break on low volume, that's often what we call a fake out or maybe a liquidity sweep. It's designed to entice early entry before slamming back down. A true, reliable BOS needs strong, preferably increasing volume accompanying that move. That volume confirms institutional participation and the real conviction behind the movement, shows real money is stepping in.
And BOS often provides confirmation for those classic patterns we already know, doesn't it?
Precisely, yeah. Think about a continuation pattern, like a bullish ascending triangle. The technical breakout, where the price actually pierces the boundary line, aligns perfectly with the actual break of structure. That moment, the price overcomes the last swing high. That synchronization pattern confirmation plus structural BOS, that adds that extra critical confirmation layer. It gives you really high confidence in your entry.
So the immediate application here is really about filtering. Incorporating the requirement for a validated BOS helps filter out those impulse trades, those guesses, and it gives traders the confidence to simply ride the momentum because the market is explicitly confirming its own intent.
Exactly. Ride the momentum, don't second guess it. BOS keeps you aligned with the dominant force. But, okay, what happens when that dominant force starts to falter? How does the structure give us an early, maybe subtle, warning of a reversal before a catastrophic collapse happens? That is the change of character, or CH to TH.
The CHCH is fascinating because it's like the market dropping a strong hint, a clue, about a shift before the full, obvious reversal pattern, like a double top, can't even finish forming. It's like an advanced warning system.
And it really is. It is that moment the market shifts from a clear phase of continuity to a hint of instability. Let's stick with the example of a strong uptrend, right, where we're forming reliable higher highs and higher lows.
Mm.
The CHEH occurs when the price breaks below the most recent higher lows. That's a structural failure.
Yeah.
It means the sellers were finally strong enough to violate the buyer's last established foothold.
And that violation signals that a potential bearish phase might be starting.
Precisely. Now, it doesn't guarantee a full reversal. We definitely need more confirmation for that. But it tells you the current trend is compromised. Its integrity is questioned. Now, I have to make a vulnerable admission here, speaking from experience. I still wrestle with recognizing the true CHOCH sometimes. It is incredibly easy to mistake it for just a very deep retracement or, even worse, a massive liquidity sweep designed purely to shake out weak hands before the trend rips higher again.
That structural confusion could cost you dearly, couldn't it? How do you even begin to distinguish a deep pullback from a true CHCH?
Yeah, it's tricky. Often it comes down to where the break actually occurs relative to previous important levels of supply and demand, and also the speed, the velocity of the rejection or acceptance of that break. A liquidity sweep is usually really fast and almost immediately reversed. A true CHCH break tends to hold below that breach level and start confirming lower highs afterwards. It definitely takes time and patience to differentiate.
Yet, recognizing that initial failure, that CHAH, is exactly what often precedes those classic major reversal patterns, the head and shoulders, the double bottoms.
Right, exactly. If you identify the CHAH early, you can adapt your existing strategy immediately. Maybe you're holding a long position. The CHAH is your signal, your cue, to move your stop loss much tighter. Or maybe take some partial profits off the table, rather than just waiting for the full reversal pattern to confirm and potentially wipe out your gains. This structural recognition is just invaluable for early trade management.
So thinking about the listener, if the CHHA signals the possibility of failure in a dominant trend, what's the best immediate adaptation for someone holding, say, an existing long trade?
It provides that crucial early warning to adapt your plan. It should prompt you to consider a tighter stop loss, or maybe taking partial profits before the whole trend potentially reverses.
Okay, so we've established the backbone. Structure tells us who's in charge and whether they're continuing their push, BOS, or potentially losing control, CHOCH. But structure itself is kind of static. It's like a map. Now we need to move into the dynamics. We need tools to confirm the strengths and the velocity of those structural moves, like checking the engine power readings.
Exactly. Structure provides the geography, the lay of the land, and indicators give us the actual propulsion metrics, the speed and force. Our first really fundamental tool here is the NESED, or Moving Average Convergence Divergence. I kind of like to think of it as the market's momentum detective.
Yeah, MSE is one of those indicators that sounds intimidatingly technical at first, but its core function is actually beautifully simple. It just spots changes in momentum and trend strength by comparing two moving averages.
Right. It has three core components you need to watch. You've got the MACD line itself, which represents the momentum. Then the signal line, which is typically a 9-period average in the MACD line, acting as the trigger. And finally, the histogram, those bars that visually show the difference between those two lines. The source material really emphasizes that it helps spot momentum changes and gauge the strength of the move.
And the primary signal most people look for is the crossover event, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the most basic signal. A bullish crossover happens when the back D line moves up and crosses above the signal line. That suggests upward momentum is accelerating, often seen as a strong buy signal. A bearish crossover, naturally, is when the MACD line crosses below the signal line. That suggests downward momentum is picking up speed, potentially a strong sell signal.
But advanced traders use MACD for more than just those simple crossovers, don't they? I mean, they look closely at the histogram behavior, too.
Oh, absolutely. The histogram size tells you the strength or intensity of the move. If the histogram bars are getting taller and taller after a bullish crossover, it means momentum is increasing rapidly. But if the bars start shrinking while the price is still maybe grinding higher, that's an early warning sign that momentum is waning even before the lines actually cross back over. This provides crucial, often subtle intelligence and frequently confirms an upcoming divergence, which we'll definitely cover later.
Okay. Next up, the old reliable workhorse. Moving averages, or MAs.
These are your dynamic filters. What they do is smooth out the naturally choppy, often volatile price action to reveal the overall underlying trend direction much more clearly. They really cut through the day-to-day noise. We often focus on the longer-term ones, like the 50-day and the 200-day simple moving averages, the SMAs.
Why specifically simple moving averages, the SMAs, as opposed to, say, exponential moving averages or EMAs? The sources seem to prefer the SMAs for this kind of long-term confirmation.
Yeah, that's a key distinction. SMAs use equal weighting for all the data points in their calculation period. This makes them smoother and slower to react compared to EMAs. Now, that lag is actually a benefit for long-term trend confirmation. They're less susceptible to getting faked out by short-term volatility spikes. EMAs, which weigh recent prices more heavily, are faster and arguably better for generating quicker signals or defining short-term structure. But for confirming the big-picture trend, the 50- and 200-day SMAs provide a more reliable, kind of static filter.
Right, and they often seem to act as dynamic support and resistance levels themselves, which adds to their utility.
Crucially, yes. The trend confirmation rule is simple but really powerful. If the shorter MA, that's usually the 50-day, is trading above the longer MA, the 200-day, the overall trend is considered structurally bullish. The moment the shorter MA crosses definitively below the longer one, that infamous death cross, this is generally seen as a confirmed bearish shift. This crossover is often the ultimate confirmation that a CHEH signal we talked about in segment one was indeed a real structural collapse, not just a deep pullback.
Okay, now let's move to a tool focused specifically on tracking stops and potential reversals, the parabolic SAR. This one is immediately recognizable visually on a chart with those dots.
Yeah, the parabolic SAR. It's represented by those distinctive dots, always appearing either above or below the price candles. It's an incredibly intuitive system, I think. Particularly excellent for helping define entries, defining exits, and maybe most importantly, setting precise trailing stop losses, especially within strong trending markets.
And the signal is basically just the flip of the dots, right?
Exactly. When the dots switch from being above the price to appearing below it, that's generally your buy signal. It suggests the immediate bearish momentum has been broken and a potential reversal to the upside might be underway. When they move from below the price to above it, that's your sell signal. It helps confirm the current momentum direction and gives you an almost mechanical point to place your safety net, your stop loss, and you can just move it up or down as the dots trail the price action.
But doesn't the parabolic SAR have a pretty major weakness? It seems like it could be really prone to whipsaws of those false signals in sideways or choppy markets.
That's its Achilles heel, absolutely.
Oh.
Because it's designed specifically for trend following, if the market starts moving sideways without clear direction, the dots will just rapidly flip back and forth. That leads to multiple false signals or whipsaws, which can be frustrating and costly. And that leads us directly to the next indicator, the super trend, which is actually designed to try and counteract that specific weakness by bringing volatility into its calculation.
Ah, so the super trend is meant to be a sort of smarter filter.
You could say that. It is. It uses the average true range, or ATR, which is a measure of volatility, to calculate its line. This makes it dynamic and self-adjusting based on how choppy the market is. This helps it show clear direction using a simple visual. Usually a green line for a definitive buy opportunity and a red line for a sell signal.
Okay, so by incorporating volatility, it handles those choppy periods better than the simpler SAR.
Much better, generally. It still works best in clearly trending markets, yes, but because it factors in that volatility component, it requires a larger, more sustained price move to actually change its direction compared to the parabolic SAR. This really helps traders filter out those minor, insignificant false moves and temporary sideways pauses that might confuse simpler MAs or trigger a SAR whipsaw. If your chart structure shows a high volume BOS, for example, you ideally want the supertrend confirming the new direction quickly and then holding that position robustly through minor pullbacks.
The synergy here seems critical. These tools aren't used in isolation. They refine the overall strategy by aligning momentum, like from the MACD, with the verified smooth trend direction provided by the MAs and the volatility-adjusted supertrend. All of this validates the structural moves we identified earlier with BOS and COCH. It's like stacking confirmations.
We are indeed stacking them, yeah. If a trader sees a clear structural BOS, they should immediately check the MACD for accelerating momentum in the same direction and also ensure the price is trading robustly above, say, the 50-day SMA. Only when all three structure, momentum, trend confirm the move do they really have that high confidence entry signal.
So let's pose this to the listener. If a chart pattern confirms a break of structure, which indicator would you say best confirms the raw immediate momentum behind that break?
Well, the MACD is great for confirming that initial momentum surge, while the supertrend helps filter noise and sustain the view of the direction during the move that follows.
All right, segment two gave us the tools to measure the power behind strong trends. Now we need to talk about, well, market exhaustion and getting the timing just right. What happens when the market is just moving sideways, consolidating, or when the existing trend looks kind of tired and is stalling out? This is where oscillators, which measure the velocity and magnitude of price changes, become absolutely crucial.
Yeah, oscillators are all about measuring that internal market pressure, or you could say the velocity of the price change. They're specifically designed to flag potential turning points. And they are absolutely critical when markets are range-bound or when the direction is just unclear, because those trend-following indicators we just discussed, like the moving averages, they often fail or give conflicting signals in those sideways environments.
And the two primary ones that pop up again and again in the sources are the Relative Strength Index, or RSI, and the Stochastic Oscillator. Let's maybe start with the RSI.
Okay, RSI. It's a great workhorse indicator for identifying potentially overbought or oversold conditions. It moves on a scale between 0 and 100. Generally, readings above 70 suggest potential exhaustion, meaning the asset might have been bought too aggressively, it's looking overbought. Readings below 30 hint at a potential rebound because it might be oversold. It's essentially measuring the speed and change of price movements over a set period, often 14 days.
And the stochastic oscillator works similarly, but it measures something slightly different, which is why it's often considered faster or maybe more sensitive than the RSI.
It is faster, generally, yes.
Yeah.
The stochastic oscillator measures momentum by comparing the current closing price to its price range over a specific look-back period. It also operates on that 0 to 100 scale, but its thresholds are usually a bit more conservative. Typically, above 80 is considered overbought, and below 20 is oversold.
Okay, why is that speed difference important, and how does it compare directly to the RSI in practice?
Well, because the stochastic is comparing the closing price to the range, the high and the low over that period, rather than just calculating an average price change like the RSI does. It reflects where the price closed relative to its recent volatility box, if you will. This focus on the closing price within the range means it often generates reversal signals before the slower averaging RSI can confirm them. So it can provide an earlier warning, which is really invaluable for, say, day traders or those looking for precise entry points on pullbacks within a larger structural trend.
So integrating these two seems key. Maybe using the slower RSI for a sense of the overall condition and the faster stochastic for more precise timing on an entry or exit, especially within those pullbacks.
Exactly. That's a common approach. They help fine-tune your timing, especially during those smaller, contained pullbacks within the overall market structure. If the market is in a clear structural uptrend, for instance, and you get an overbought signal on the stochastic, followed by a quick dip back down to oversold levels, that might be your perfect low-risk entry point to rejoin and ride the larger trend again.
Now let's move to one of the most powerful and consistently reliable concepts in advanced technical analysis, divergence analysis. This is where the core price structure and the underlying momentum indicator completely contradict each other.
Oh, divergence. Yeah, it's the ultimate early warning system, I'd say. It happens when the price action you see on the chart and the indicator like the RSI or the stochastic start visibly moving in opposite directions.
Mm-hmm.
It signals a loss of conviction, a disagreement that almost always precedes either a full structural reversal or sometimes even a very strong continuation, surprisingly. It's like the engine is sputtering while the car keeps coasting uphill for a bit longer.
Okay, let's break down the types, starting with regular divergence, which is the classic reversal signal most people look for.
Right. Take the classic bearish regular divergence. The price makes a new higher high, maybe even confirming a structural BOS, which looks bullish on the surface. But at the same time, the indicator, well, the RSI makes a lower high. So the price is going up, but the indicator is effectively screaming that the upward strength, the momentum needed to maintain that ascend, is actually weakening significantly. That is a massive red flag that a reversal could be imminent.
It's like proof that the move is being driven more by lingering psychological buying or maybe just momentum rather than genuine committed underlying strength.
Precisely. And the bullish regular divergence is just the mere opposite. Price makes a lower low, looks bearish, but the indicator makes a higher low. Momentum is actually increasing, building underneath, even as the price is being dragged down perhaps by the last wave of sellers. This signals that a floor is likely about to be put in and a reversal to the upside might be coming soon.
Okay, so regular divergence is basically screaming that the engine is either losing power or gaining power, getting ready for a major turn. Now, hidden divergence is slightly more complicated because, counterintuitively, it often signals continuation of the existing trend, not reversal.
Yeah, this is where precision really matters. In a bullish hidden divergence, the price makes a higher low, which is standard, healthy action in an uptrend. But the indicator makes a lower low. Now, why would that happen? It happens because the recent pullback was so aggressive that the momentum, measured by the indicator, dropped below the level it reached on the previous structural dip. Yet, crucially, the price itself managed to hold its structural integrity. It still made that higher low.
Ah, so that suggests the underlying trend is actually exceptionally strong. It just experienced a very aggressive but ultimately healthy shakeout, cleaning out the weak hands, perhaps?
Exactly. Hidden divergence confirms the underlying power beneath a structural pullback. It suggests the trend is fundamentally strong and likely to continue upward after this healthy, albeit deep, retracement. It often offers an excellent, high-probability entry point to rejoin the trend.
And then you have the third, maybe less common form, exaggerated divergence.
Right. This occurs when the price forms equal highs or equal lows. Think of a perfect double top or double bottom where the prices hit the exact same level. But the indicator clearly diverges, making either a lower high in a double top or a higher low in a double bottom. Even without the classic diverging peaks or troughs in the price itself, that lack of momentum confirmation from the indicator still hints powerfully that a reversal is likely coming.
The application of divergence seems hugely dependent on the time frame you're looking at, isn't it? I mean, a divergence on a 5-minute chart might just be noise, while the same pattern on a 4-hour chart could be a really significant signal.
Oh, that is absolutely critical, yes. Divergence signals must be validated across multiple time frames. A clear divergence on a daily or a 4-hour chart is exponentially more significant, carries much more weight than one you might spot on a 15-minute chart. Why? Because the higher the time frame, the more institutional commitment and longer-term sentiment the indicator is reflecting. That makes the signal much more reliable for anticipating a major structural turn.
So the application here is really about spotting these divergent signals within the context of major patterns. If you see a potential double bottom forming on the chart, and then you spot a clear, bullish, regular divergence on the RSI or stochastic before the price even breaks the neckline confirmation level, that gives you immense high conviction confidence in the potential long trade setup.
It enhances your precision and allows you to anticipate the turn. While other traders might still be blindly following the old downtrend that is actually silently collapsing from within, you're potentially already positioned because you saw the engine failing before this structure officially broke down.
So thinking back to our listener, why are oscillators like RSI and stochastic especially valuable when a market is moving sideways rather than trending strongly?
Well, they really excel at anticipating turning points and signaling exhaustion right when those trend-following indicators, like moving averages, tend to become less effective or even confusing. Hashtag tag mid-roll sponsor read, outline instruction only, content omitted.
Okay, we've built the structure, we've confirmed the momentum, and we fine-tuned the timing with oscillators and divergence. But the final, arguably mandatory layer of conviction really has to come from volume. Volume is like the market's verifiable voice. It tells us if genuine institutional money is truly supporting the move we're seeing.
Volume indicators are the ultimate strength check.
Yeah.
If you see a major chart pattern breaking out, maybe a clear break of structure, but it happens on really low lethargic drying up volume, that breakout is inherently unreliable. It's very often a false signal. It's kind of like seeing a sports car accelerating quickly, but knowing it only has about a quarter tank of gas left. It's not sustainable.
So the simple rule, reinforced throughout our source material, high volume signals strong investor interest, validating the conviction and the strength of a price move.
And conversely, low volume suggests weak momentum or just general uncertainty. A true reliable price breakout, whether it's bullish or bearish, really needs significantly rising volume to validate that there is real market participation, real institutional commitment behind it. If the price moves sharply but the volume isn't there, it's often just a liquidity trap designed to lure retail traders in before the actual reversal happens.
And one of the most powerful volume-based tools, especially popular among institutional traders and professional intraday traders, is VWAP. The volume-weighted average price.
VWAP. Yeah, it's fantastic because it reflects the average trading price for the session, but it's adjusted based on the transaction volume at each price level. Mm-hmm. It's not just a simple average price. It weights the trades by how many shares or contracts were actually exchanged at that level. You can think of it as the market's true fair value anchor, usually for the day or the session. It tends to act dynamically as a high-probability support and resistance level throughout the trading period.
Why is it considered so important specifically for institutional traders?
Well, because institutions, they have to execute very large orders, right? And their performance is often judged internally on whether they achieved an average price better than the VWAP for that day. If they manage to buy below VWAP or sell above VWAP, they've effectively outperformed the day's average price for their clients. This makes VWAP a really magnetic level where these big players are frequently active, either accumulating or distributing positions.
Okay, so how do advanced traders use it in practice, maybe combining it with patterns or candlestick signals?
They often use it to identify high probability zones for entries on pullbacks. The classic high confidence example given in the material is when the price pulls back exactly to the VWAP level, holds, forms a powerful reversal candlestick pattern like a dragonfly doji right at VWAP, and then breaks cleanly back above VWAP.
Wait, we should probably define that specific candlestick pattern for clarity. What exactly is a dragonfly doji?
Good call, yeah. A dragonfly doji is a pretty strong bullish reversal candlestick pattern. It's characterized by having virtually no upper body or upper shadow and a very long lower wick or shadow. It forms when sellers initially manage to drive the price way down, creating that long lower shadow, but then buyers step in incredibly aggressively right at the absolute low, pushing the closing price all the way back up to near the high of the period. It signals a powerful rejection of those lower prices by the market.
Got it. So that combination, a strong rejection right at the institutional fair value anchor, VWAP, confirmed visually by a powerful rejection candle like the dragonfly doji, that signals a potentially high conviction buy entry.
Exactly. So you see, volume indicators aren't just some afterthought you glance at. They are essential companions to all structural analysis and chart patterns. They validate whether the move you're seeing has true committed market strength behind it or if it's just noise.
Okay. Now let's talk about filtering out some of the visual chaos. Standard candlestick charts, while informative, are packed with short-term volatility and noise. And this can lead to emotional decisions or getting stopped out of a good trade prematurely. This brings us to looking at alternative charting methods that are designed specifically for noise reduction.
Right. First up, we have the Heiken Ashi chart. This is a really brilliant smoothing technique, actually.
How does it achieve that smoothing effect compared to regular candles?
Well, it's mathematically different. It filters out noise by calculating average values for the open, high, low, and close based heavily on the previous period's data as well as the current period. This creates a much cleaner, more visually digestible representation of the underlying trend, smoothing out the minor fluctuations.
So it changes the visual signal quite profoundly, making the momentum easier to follow with less distraction.
It really does. A strong uptrend on Heiken Ashi is typically displayed as a series of solid green candles with no lower wicks. That's key. If you start seeing green candles forming lower wicks, it signals a potential loss of that strong upward momentum, even if the candles themselves are still green. Strong bearish momentum, conversely, is indicated by solid red candles with no upper wicks. This visual simplification helps with decision making. Many traders use this specifically to help them stay in trades longer because they aren't constantly getting spooked by every minor short-term volatility spike or tiny pullback. It helps you focus on the bigger structural picture.
And then you have Renko charts, which take this simplicity and filtering concept even further by focusing purely on price movement and completely ignoring the element of time.
Renko. Yeah, Renko is in my opinion, one of the most underutilized tools out there for clarifying structure and trend. The name Renko actually comes from the Japanese word for brick, Renga. Each block or brick on the chart only forms after a specific predetermined price change happens, say a 50-cent move or maybe a 1% move, whatever you set it to, regardless of whether that move takes 5 minutes or 5 hours to complete.
So if the price just sits still or only moves, say, 0.5% when the brick size is 1%, no new brick forms on the chart. It just cuts out all that horizontal time-based noise completely.
Correct, yeah. Green or white bricks typically show upward movement. Red or black bricks show downward movement. This filters noise incredibly powerfully, making trends and reversals extremely easy to spot because you only see blocks confirming significant price movement in one direction or the other. It's incredibly powerful when combined with classic reversal patterns, as the pattern boundaries often become crystal clear without all the messy wicks and overlaps.
Whoa. Okay, imagine simplifying the complexity of a fast-moving, sometimes chaotic market down to just stacking consistent Lego blocks of data like that. It completely changes the perspective and probably the visual stress involved in trading, too.
It really is visual clarity personified, which is why Renko charts are such powerful tools, especially for longer-term trend-following strategies, even though as a trade-off, they might slightly delay signals compared to candlestick charts because they trade that early sensitivity for ultimate clarity.
Okay, before we move to the final recap, we have two really intriguing examples of confirmation layers that exist somewhat outside of typical technical indicators. They pull in elements of history and theory, starting with GAN angles.
Ah, WD GAN. Yeah, working back in the early 20th century, he was a true legend, a pioneer of market analysis. He developed these geometric angles using specific fixed geometric proportions, basically diagonal lines drawn at specific angles like 1 by 1, which is 45 degrees, 2 by 1, or 1 by 2, and he extended these lines from key swing highs or lows on the price chart.
And the theory behind it suggests some kind of deeper connection between geometry and market equilibrium, or balance.
That's the idea. It suggests that when price movement aligns perfectly with these predetermined geometric angles, it reflects a sort of natural balance between time and price movement. Steeper angles indicate stronger, faster trends, while flatter angles suggest consolidation or weaker trends. Traders use this framework, GAN theory, to try and forecast future potential support and resistance lines based on where these angles project out to. It adds a layer of structural, almost mathematical confirmation to their chart pattern analysis. It's kind of a way of checking if the current trend seems mathematically sustainable according to these geometric principles.
And finally, the completely unconventional and often quite controversial confirmation layer, the observation of moon phases.
Yeah, this one is truly alternative. It connects potential human emotional influence, possibly driven by lunar cycles, to collective market behavior. Now, this is definitely not hard science, but more based on historical observation and maybe some correlation studies. Historically, some veteran traders have observed slight statistical tendencies, maybe bullishness near new moons and perhaps more bearishness near full moons, suggesting subtle collective shifts in risk tolerance or sentiment based on these natural cycles.
Okay, so this is absolutely not a primary signal generator, but maybe more like a final optional layer of conviction if everything else aligns.
Precisely. It's purely a non-technical confirmation tool, maybe even just a psychological one for some. If you have a fully validated technical setup, say a perfect head and shoulders pattern confirmed by a GOCH, a bearish maxi D crossover, and high breakdown volume. And that entire structural breakdown happens to culminate precisely during a full moon cycle. While some traders might consider that final tertiary layer of conviction for taking a short position, it's more like a final check on the mood, not a technical signal itself.
So bringing it back to those alternative charts for a second, if Renko and Heikinashi charts excel at ignoring short-term volatility, what's the inherent risk? How might they actually risk delaying a necessary exit signal?
Well, they fundamentally trade that early sensitivity, that reaction to noise, for a much clearer, smoother view of the dominant trend. This means a necessary exit signal might lag slightly because of the smoothing calculations in Heikinashi or the fixed brick size requirement in Renko. Hashtag big idea recap and final thought.
Wow, we covered a really substantial landscape today. We went from the foundational structure, layered in dynamic momentum and trend indicators, fine-tuned the timing with oscillators and divergence, and then went all the way through to volume confirmation and even alternative, almost philosophical layers of confirmation.
Yeah, and the central, really powerful insight here, I think, is that advanced high-probability trading is never about relying on just one signal or one pattern in isolation. It truly relies on intelligently combining structural signals, that critical BOS for continuation and the COCH for a reversal warning, with multiple ideally independent confirming tools, momentum indicators, oscillators, and absolutely essential volume confirmation.
We started with structure, right? Then layered on momentum with tools like MACHD and moving averages. We checked the precision of timing using oscillators like RSI and stochastic and looked for divergence. And finally, we confirmed the conviction with volume metrics like VWAP and sought visual clarity with alternative views like Renko and Heikinashi. It's really about establishing a framework, a checklist almost, of necessary conditions before acting.
Exactly. The goal for you, the listener, the learner, is to start integrating these pieces into a systematic checklist for your own analysis, to begin seeing the market not just as random chaotic noise, but as a systematic process where every potential breakout, every pattern, needs to be validated by the engine of volume and the dynamics of momentum. This rigorous process is really what builds those high-confidence, precise setups, and it's what distinguishes the professional approach from maybe more amateur guesswork.
It was fascinating how the material showed sophisticated traders connecting geometry through the, well, older methods of gown angles and even ancient cyclical observations like moon phases with cutting-edge modern data processing and technical indicators. It seems like you're constantly searching for an edge everywhere.
Yeah, they really are. And this leads us to our final provocative thought for you, the listener. Given that traders are already connecting things like geometry and cyclical observations to financial data, what entirely unexpected field of study, something completely outside of pure finance, maybe something like, I don't know, complex network theory, or perhaps linguistic sentiment analysis applied to news headlines in real time, or maybe even something as wild as meteorology patterns, what could offer the next powerful non-technical confirmation layer for chart pattern analysis? What completely new lens could we use to check the market's temperature or sentiment?
Well, we certainly hope this deep dive gave you the structural framework to start filtering the noise more effectively and find those aha moments in your own analysis, really moving you from simple pattern recognition towards building that fortress of confirmation.
Keep exploring the combinations that work for you. And remember, knowledge is really most valuable when it's deeply understood and then practically applied.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into advanced trading confirmation strategies. Out to Row Music.